If there's darkness in my heart, please reveal it. If I'm blind to your truth, help me see it. If I'm numb to your love, help me feel it. And never lose the feeling, never forget when.
Father God, Lord, this morning, Father, we just come before you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, we come before you as your people that are called by your name. Lord, we come before you, Father, as a people that you've reserved unto yourself, Lord. And Lord, as your people, Lord God, we just come with grateful hearts, thanking you that you have chosen us, Father God, from the foundation of the world to walk with you, Lord God, and to know you, Lord, in this life. And so, Lord, then since this is eternal life, Lord God, may we that we know you. Lord, may we know you more and more each and every day. Lord, may the depth of our relationship and our connection be strengthened in this day, Lord. Father, we leave every care and every concern at your feet right now. And Lord, we just take your yoke, Father God, because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Lord, we do bind every demonic spirit, every attack of the devil, every work of the enemy, Lord God, and we break it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we proclaim in this place, at this time, right now, Lord, your free flow of your Spirit, Lord, in and through each of our lives, Lord God, as we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, thank you so much for this day, Lord God, and thank you for this time. We go on into it, Lord God, completely in Jesus' name. And Lord, I acknowledge openly, Father, that the only good thing in me is your Holy Spirit. So to your Spirit I yield as we go on, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, before we really get into things too much, and it's a short time this morning, I do need to make mention to everyone something that's kind of coming up soon. How many of you remember Tear Fund? The people from Tear Fund? Okay. How many of you know what's happening in Haiti? Okay. Everyone's watching the news. Okay, so Tear Fund and I have been talking, and actually I'm going to Haiti on Monday. I'll be gone for 3 months with doing some stuff with Tear Fund. So I will be gone for 3 months. And so while I'm gone, be good. be good to each other. No fighting. Okay. Because you know why? Because you know something I've noticed. There's something in us human, like in our being, right? Where we want to make life understandable and controllable. So this is what I understand. These are my friends. This is what I own. This is the places that I go. And then I want to build it and grow it a bit more every day, right? I think just about every human being is probably wired like that in themselves, in their flesh. But when Jesus calls us, he calls us to a different reality. And in the end, when you walk with him, he wants for him to be the only thing in your life. And that's what it means for him to be Lord, and that's what he tests in every person that will come to him. Because when people, all these people came up and said, "Oh Lord, oh Master, something, something," right? But Jesus always laid down a dividing line with people. He said, you call me Lord, you call me Master, but you don't do the things I say. You won't walk with me. You won't. You just say the words. And throughout Scripture, God always tests the heart of every single person that would ever want to walk with Him. And He will test your heart by going after that which is nearest and dearest to you. So the very thing that you treasure so much is the very thing that God will say, you have to let that go, to the point where if you don't hate your father, mother, brother, sister, everybody, basically in comparison to Him, He has to be the love of your life. I've been thinking about just Abraham recently too, how, you know, here God promises the beloved son, you know, when Abraham is in his mid-80s, 86, something like that, then he doesn't get the son till he's 99, and then after he gets the son, God tells him, okay, now I want you to kill him. Now what the world would say is, what kind of cruel, sick, twisted God would do that to a person? The world would say, why would you drag someone on? If you have all the power in the world, why would you keep him waiting for 13 years for something? And then he finally gets what he really wants in his heart, and then now you tell him, okay, now I want you to kill him. I'm not going to take him. I want you to take a knife, and I want you to kill him. But God is doing something past your and my personal comfort. God is doing something past your and my desire for some little position or some notoriety in this world. And God is also doing something with Abraham even during that time, so that he would be exactly what God made him to be. He had to test it to the very core of his being. Now we know the rest of the story. See, I think so often people don't know the rest of the story, and so they get stuck where they are in the middle of the story right now. With Jesus, we know the rest of the story. But if you just saw His life through His death, you would say, what a failure. Why? Because Jesus, in His death, He died on a cross, basically alone, with very little to show for. He had nothing left to show in the world, no people following, everything was gone. Thank you. just at a distance, John and a few women watching. Four sets of clothes, one undergarment that the soldiers split among themselves. The most amazing, most successful life that's ever been lived in this world, and that was the way that that life was closed in the natural reality of that life here in this world. Now, will you walk like that? Or is the Jesus you serve something more comfortable? Because people want a comfortable Jesus. I know this. I've seen this. They want the Jesus that clothes them. They want the Jesus that feeds them. They want the Jesus that does miracles. They want the Jesus that heals them when they're sick. They want the Jesus that tells them that everything's going to be okay. But they don't want the Jesus of John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 53, where he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many thereafter of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not and should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye go away? Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Make a rubber out of our garbage. The same amount of food there, they will sit here and have an animal. ඉදිරිපත් කරන්නේ ආත්මය. වාංශයේ කිසි ප්‍රයෝජනයක් නැත. බාහුවලන් මේ වචන ආත්මයේ ජීවණය දෙවේ. නමුත් විශ්වාස නොකරන සමහරේ නුඹලා අතරේ සිටි කීකීසේක. බක්මිතාට විශ්වාස නොකරන්නෝ කවුද කියා, සමන් වහන්සේ පාවා දෙන්න සිටින්නේ කවුද කියා, යේසුස් වහන්සේ මුල පටන් දැනගෙන සිටිසේක. ඒ උන්වහන්සේ කියන සේක් මාගේ පියාණන් වහන්සේගේ බලයේ ලැබූ කෙනෙකුට මිස අන් කිසිකෙකුට මාවත දෙන්න බැරි බව නුඹලාට කීවේ කිත්තේක. මේ නිසා එවක්කට උන්වහන්සේගේ ගෝලයන්ගේ බොහෝ දෙනෙක් පසුබට වී උන්වහන්සේ සමඟ තවත් පැතුම නොය. නමුත් නුඹලා සහපයන්ට කැමතිද යේසුස් වහන්සේ දොරොස් දෙනාගේ හැදුසේක. තිමොන් පේතුස් උන්වහන්සේ උත්තර දෙමින්, ස්වාමීනි අපි කා ළඟට යමුද? සදාකාල ජීවනයේ වචනේ ඔබ වහන්සේට ඇත්තේය. අපිට ඔබ දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ ශුද්ධ තැනක් වහන්සේ බව විශ්වාස කරගෙන දැනගෙන සිටුමියයි කීවේය. යේසුස් වහන්සේ උන්ට උත්තර දෙමින්, මාගේ නුඹලා දොරොස් දෙනා තෝරා ගත්තා නොවේද? නමුත් නුඹලාගේ එක්කෙනෙක් යක්ෂයෙක් යැයි කිව්සේක. මෙසේ කීවේ තිමොන් ඉස්කෝරියස්ගේ පුත්‍ර වූ යූදස් කියන්නේ මාගේ දොරොස් දෙනාගේ එක්කෙනෙක් වූ ඔවුන් වහන්සේ පාවා දෙන්න සිටුමියයි.
Okay, people don't want that Jesus. Because that Jesus is not convenient. That Jesus is now asking something of you. See, a lot of people came to Jesus because of what they could get from Him. They wanted to be healed, they wanted to be fed, they wanted to see a show. They came to Jesus for a show. But then there came a point, and Jesus allowed people to come, and He was, if He's going, if people were walking and they're following Him, He let them. But there came a point where finally the word would come, and that word would divide and show where people's hearts were. Do you notice how in Scripture Jesus is always walking? He's always going somewhere. From the time that the Spirit of God comes upon Him and He really digs into His ministry in the earth, from that point on it seems like He's always going somewhere. If you wanted to build an earthly ministry, the way they do it today is they'd build a big ashram, big temple, big something, and then tell everyone, okay, come to Jesus. Here, come to the meeting. You know, that's the chant of the entire Pentecostal movement is come to the meeting. But Jesus is constantly going. And you know, I thought about that one too. I'm like, you know, why did He do what He did? Why did He live the way He lived? Well, one thing when I thought about that, when Jesus was going like that, if you wanted to continue to hear that word that He was speaking, you had to be willing to go with Him. And if that meant that you had to leave everything else that you had, that you was part of the life that you had known, to be with Him, so be it. You notice that with all the disciples, you've got Peter and James and John, they're out there fishing, and they're then you've got Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. They're doing something, and then they hear Jesus say, come and follow me, and what do?
Matthew, Abhidatta, Mayor, Tesker, Sunga Michael, and
So what did they do? It says that they left their nets, they left their father with the nets, with Peter, with James and John, they left the father with the nets, and they followed Jesus. Matthew left the tax collecting booth and just went and followed him. And in leaving that, they left their livelihoods. They let go of their families. They let go of their day-to-day routine and that which they knew and that which they trusted and that which they were very familiar. But what did they exchange all of that for? They exchanged it for the joy of knowing Him. Because when you know Him, when you're walking with Him, and that Word comes to you from Him, once you have known that and experienced that, you don't want, you won't settle for anything less. You have to have that. You can't taste and see that the Lord is good and then go and eat something else. You can know the sweetness of His presence and then go and have somebody else tell you this is it, but no, it's not it. It will grate inside of you. You die on the inside. And your heart longs to know the sweetness of His presence and His company. And so, what He does is He says, oh, you want to know Me, do you? Well, if you want to know Me, then here's what it means to know Me, and here's what I expect from My side. See, we come with our expectations of what we would like from Him, but He says, okay, here's My side. We talked about it this few days ago. Exodus chapter 20, where He gives the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before Me. The very first thing that He tells the children of Israel that would go with Him through the wilderness is, thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. Actually, let's just read verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. That's it. Very first thing. So He said, if you want, He said, first of all, recognize who He is. See, we had no recourse, we had no other option, no other way out of this system of bondage except for Jesus, except for the Father reaching in with a strong hand. And out of that, He says, okay, My expectation is that you will have nothing else before me. Now you can fool other people. You can absolutely fool other people. You can wear the right clothes. You can say the right words. You can carry a big black Bible. Big one, huge one. Big one. You get a big fat cross and wear it on your neck like this. Nice collar. You can... But God sees into the core of your heart. The God that made you knows the very hairs on your head, knows those that, in John chapter 6 again, He knew from the beginning, verse 64, who they were that should that believed not and who should betray Him.
ඉතින් උන්වහන්සේ ඔබගේ ඉසේ තියෙන හැම කෙස්කම අඳුනනා වගේම යොහාන් 6 වෙනි පරිච්ඡේදයේ 64 වෙනි පදේ කියනවා උන්වහන්සේ ආරම්භ මුලදීම දැනගත්තලු කවුද උන්වහන්සේ විශ්වාස කරන්නේ කවුද උන්වහන්සේව එපා කරලා පාව දෙන්නේ
He knows those that don't really believe his word.
ඉතින් උන්වහන්සේ දන්නවා කවුද හරියට විශ්වාස කරන්නේ දෙවියන්ගේ වචනේ කියලා.
He knows those who would stop along the way.
ඉතින් ඒ වගේම
Like Abraham, he knows those that after receiving the promised son, when that instruction would come, that they would say, Nope, God, I'm not doing that one. Because you know what would happen? They would get together, Abraham, if he was like most people in the world, get together with his friends and say, well, I think God has told me to do this, but I don't really feel comfortable about it. What do you think? And their friends would say, No, Abraham, what kind of God would ask? God couldn't possibly ask you to do that. God is love. God wouldn't want you to sacrifice your son, your beloved son. He promised him to you, right? After all, God knows your heart, Abraham. You're okay. You don't need to do this. Besides, how irresponsible would you be? You'd break your wife's heart. She had to have the child. She was 90 plus when she had the child. She had to bear the child. You who do you think you are? You're not the only one in this. Does that sound familiar at all? The world will give you a thousand different consultations and a thousand different ways for you to get out of what it is that God just spoke to you to do. And the problem is, as you listen to those voices, Jesus is still moving and you're not moving with Him anymore. See, when Jesus would walk through this world, He would go to a place, people would hear the word, and if they wanted to continue to hear the word, they had to go with Him.
ඉතින්
And they kept trying to get Jesus to stay. They wanted to keep him. They wanted to stay. Jesus, you stay here. Stay with us. Stay with us. We'll make you king here. We'll make you king according to our terms and according to our liking. But Jesus, if you wanted to continue to follow Him, when you heard the word, you had to go with Him. And if you refuse to go with Him, if you refuse to heed that word, He would keep moving and He would leave you to yourself. He would leave you to the reality that you had created for yourself. And your life would be awfully sane, very boring, and dead. So, it's an encouragement because He, in the end, one thing that we realize when you've walked with Him is that He does have the best for you. In John chapter 10, He says that I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He didn't come that you would not have life and that He would take it away. He came to give it to you. But it comes on His terms and He knows the path to it. Abraham, when he went through the process that God took him through, he had to go through all of that process. Including that which was the most precious to him had to be laid down at the foot of God, and he had to say, Lord, you are Lord above all. And I will, with my own hand if necessary, kill that which is nearest and dearest to me if that's what it requires for me to continue to walk with you. And when he walked down from that mountain, when Abraham came down, now it was different. Why do they call him the father of the faith? What was it about him that made him somebody that people can look back and say, this is one of the people that was a pioneer there? But one thing is that where most people would have stopped, Abraham kept going. Where most people would have gotten off of the train, Abraham continued to ride to the end. And we are called to be a people that will go with God to and through whatever it is that He has. Now, it's not easy. It's not easy what God calls you to. Let me say that openly and honestly, because I think so often, because people want somebody to say, you know, say a prayer, say the sinner's prayer, and they're like, you know, just don't worry about it. They don't want them to know. No, this is not easy. This walk, if you walk with Jesus, it will cost you everything. It will cost you every hope, every dream, everything that you could have ever desired in this life. You have to lay that at His feet. And not just symbolically, not just in words for other people. No, in the core of your being, it has to be sacrificed before Him. And you receive from Him the assignment that God has for you. You receive from Him whatever work He has for you. So it is a test, but in the end, what you have and what you receive is life, and life more abundantly. You know, for myself, I go through a range of emotions sometimes. Because I can feel really happy and very sad at the same time. I mean, right now even, you know, there's an anticipation, you know, of what God is doing, but also you care about the people that are around you. Because God puts a love in your heart for each other. And I thought back to the thing of even, you know, Paul getting on the ship and everybody, you know, they're all crying because they're going to miss the guy. And you know, we're allowed that. That's also part of the experience, is you're allowed to feel the care that you have, that God's put in your heart for each other. But there is a joy that each of us are meant to experience in walking and fulfilling the plan that God has for you as an individual. You as an individual that is part of the body of Christ, walking out and fulfilling that which God intended for you from the foundation of this world. So I just, my hope is to encourage you, my hope is just to bless you, and my hope is just that you and I would all fulfill that which God has in this time, in this space, in the earth as we're living here. And as I take off for a while, I say it openly, I'll miss you all very much. And I do ask that you would keep me in prayer as well, and let's all pray for each other. And with that, I will stop there.